So if you were at Mass yesterday, we heard the first part of Jesus' teaching on forgiveness, that if we know that we have sinned against another, when that person comes to us, we are to acknowledge our sin and be reconciled. So yesterday, we dealt with the responsibility of the sinner. Today, we deal with the responsibility of the one who has been sinned against, the one who needs to forgive. And in this passage, Jesus helps us to focus on two things. First of all, we are to be aware of our own faults. And secondly, we are not to bear grudges against those who stumble. This teaching in Matthew 18 needs to be compared with the teaching in Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says that we are first of all to attend to the log that is in our own eye before assisting a brother or sister with the speck that is in their own eye. And one of the things Jesus is very clear of in the Matthew's gospel is the following. We are to be scrupulous in how we examine our own conscience, and we are to be generous in how we might examine the conscience of another person. I don't know about you, but it seems that I sometimes get that reversed. I can be scrupulous in examining the conscience of another person and not so attentive in the examination of my own conscience. And so Jesus says we are to take seriously our own faults and the greatness of the mercy that God has towards us, and we are to be generous in how we relate to others. And as Jesus always does, he uses exaggerated speech, a technical device known as hyperbole. He uses exaggeration. And so in our story, which we all know so well, but let me just unpack it a little bit more. He speaks about this huge amount, 10,000 talents that a slave owes his master. 10,000 talents. A talent is a remarkable amount of money. One talent was the equivalent of 6,000 denarii. A denarii was what a common laborer would make in one day. This man owes, in the Greek, what's called a myriad. It's just an unimaginable amount. 10,000 talents is the equivalent of 600,000 denarii. And so Jesus is wanting to make the point that this man has a debt that he cannot pay. But then, in order to exaggerate how unaware this man is of his own examination of conscience, the man says to the master, "Have mercy on me, and I will repay you everything." It is absolutely impossible for this man to pay back 600,000 talents, or denarii, 10,000 talents. But the amazing thing is we know that the king is generous. And as Jesus says, out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But then there's that next move, where there is another man who owes this man 100 denarii, the equivalent of 100 days' wages. And he's exactly the same as the first slave. He kneels down before the slave and says, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But notice that this man does not say, "I will pay you everything." He might not be able to pay him back everything, but "I will pay you what I can." But the first slave, who had been forgiven the 10,000 talents, is merciless. And he has the second slave thrown into jail, and he will have to stay there until he pays everything. And then we come to the kicker, where the king hears of the merciless slave, and we're told that he turns him over to the jailers to be tortured, and he will stay in that prison until he pays back everything. Jesus is so clear that we only receive mercy from God when we, in turn, are learning to be merciful. Why is that? Because we have to be aware of our own heart. We have to be aware of our own need daily for mercy. And it's only out of that place of having received mercy from God that in turn we extend mercy to others and we are aware of what it is to live in the land of mercy. Remember Jesus when responding to Peter's question, how many times should I forgive my brother, up to seven times? Well, here's the thing. The rabbis taught to forgive three times. That's as far as you have to go. So Peter thinks, hey, Jesus, I'm being generous. I'm doubling it and adding one. Seven times, that's good, isn't it? And Jesus says, no, 77 times. And in order to understand what Jesus is getting at here, we have to go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis. And there we read, at the end of one of the genealogies of Cain's family. Remember Cain, a family filled with immorality, murder, vengeance. Lamech, who is the last of the list in this genealogy, says, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. Cain's respondents responded to their enemies with unlimited vengeance. Christian says Jesus are to respond to the sins committed against them with limitless forgiveness. What a difference. And this is where that first reading from the Old Testament, from Joshua, comes into play. In the Bible, water is symbolic of evil. Water is symbolic of the place where, as we read in the book of Revelation, the devil and the monsters come forth. And so here, as the Israelites are crossing the Jordan and the priests hold the Ark of the Covenant, representative of God's presence, evil is stopped in its tracks so that the people can cross over into the land of Canaan and come to inhabit a land that was a land of vengeance, a land of evil, a land of unforgiveness, and they are to be established there as God's people. And so what Jesus wants us to see in Matthew 18 is the process of forgiveness is very rich. We need to be able to, as we heard yesterday, confront one who has sinned against us. And if that one turns to us and seeks forgiveness, we have regained a brother or sister. But we all know there are times when someone who has sinned against us does not ask for forgiveness. They're not able to acknowledge their wrong. But Jesus seems to be teaching us today that in places and times like that are the times when we most need to depend on the mercy of God. We have to bring ourselves into the very presence of God. And as the Catechism of the Catholic Church teaches, forgiveness entails a vital participation coming from the depths of the heart in the holiness and the mercy and the love of our God. And as the Catechism goes on to say, admittedly, it is not always easy to forgive. Some injuries are so deep that it is not in our power not to feel or to forget an offense. When I was younger, I was sinned against in a way that was profoundly difficult. It took me the better part of 3 decades to work through that and to come to the place where I could truly forgive the one who had sinned against me. There are some ways in which we have been violated that require time, persistence, and are coming before the throne and the seat of mercy. We are not to be like Lamech, and we are not to be like Cain. We are to be like Jesus, the one who on the cross died for the sins of the world, the one who through the cross and through the grace infused into our lives from the Eucharist allows us to live in such a way that, again, I conclude by quoting the Catechism. The heart that offers itself to the Holy Spirit turns injury into compassion and purifies the memory in transforming the hurt into intercession. I love that. Transforming the injury from hurt into intercession. Is not this what we do at every Mass? Is this not at the heart of our Catholic identity? May we hear Matthew 18, hear the teaching of our Lord, and know that evil is stopped in its tracks when we learn the way of unlimitless forgiveness.